Isaiah chapter 13, verse 12. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even man than the gold of Ophir. And one other verse, and in the New Testament, and we're in the letter, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Knowing that you have been redeemed, not by corruptible things, as silver or gold, from your vain conversation handed down from your fathers, but by precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the blood of Christ. Thinking about this verse in Isaiah, God said he'd make a man more precious than gold, and man than the gold of Ophir. Now, when I was in my teens, I had to go and get a document signed by a justice of the peace. Now, I don't know if anybody's called a justice of the peace in England. I think they call them magistrates. But in Scotland at that time, anyway, there were certain things you had to get signed by a justice of the peace. Now, I was just in my teens. I was a bit frightened of this man. I knew he was a justice of the peace. And I went over to his house and I knocked at the door of my form to get filled in. And I went into this form and he had a great display of things that were of value to him. There were gold things and silver things, and all this stuff was displayed out on tables in this room I was into. This bit scary room. It's called Black Room, and this is lived by himself. And he had this, and he really wasn't interested in signing my form, but he was interested in showing me this display. And I had to wait about half an hour and went over things. I wasn't the slightest bit interested in them, but they were precious to him. This is his collection. You might say this was his life. He collected all this precious stuff. No doubt paid a lot of money for it. I don't know who he left it to, because I don't know if he had any family or not. But it was precious to him. Now I want to talk about how God's making a man, a person like you and me, precious. And I want to speak about what God regards as precious. And that's the blood of Jesus. And the way God's taken a person like you and me, who've done wrong in our lives, and making us more precious than the gold of Ophir, which is obviously a very important place and very highly refined gold in those days. And God's changing people and making them from being vile to being precious, to being sinners to be saved sinners. And that's what the gospel's all about, that God is changing things. He's saying it's the room for anybody to come, anybody, ever who they are, and become changed. And become precious to heaven because they're under the shelter of the blood of Jesus. You know, when somebody dies as a Christian, it can be written over them, precious in the sight of the Lord as the death of his saints. How valuable anybody is to God who's under the shelter of the blood of Jesus. But God's gospel is going out to everyone, to people who are murderers, to people who are thieves, who people who've corrupted other folk, who people who think they've lived a good life, but told lies and stolen and cheated. The gospel is for everyone. And God's proposing to make a man more precious than gold, even man than the gold of Ophir. I'm going to tell you about some people who's got changed and who became precious to God. But before I do that, I want to tell you about the basis that God has for doing that. And that's because Jesus came here. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He made the worlds. He made everything. He made the whole creation. People are looking up to the sky just now. They've been able to see all these planets in a row. That's all God's creation. And Jesus made it all. And the stars that are so many millions of light years away, God made them all through Jesus, by whom he made the worlds. How wonderful is Jesus? He upholds everything by the word of his power. That's Jesus. Yeah. And yet he became a man. He came into this world. He was once a boy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, up to 30 years of age. Mm-hmm. And then he went into public service. And he served his God and Father. And he demonstrated the kindness and love to man of a Savior God who took account of us, who are human beings and all done wrong in our lives. And he came here to change us. He came here to redeem us. He came here to show that God wanted to help us. Mm. Sometimes people feel God doesn't want them. God doesn't care for them. God's of no interest in them. That's not true. Mm. Not true. Every person's of interest to heaven. I don't know how many people there are in the world now, but it's about 4 billion or whatever it is. Maybe it's more than that now. Anyway, however many there are, you can Google it. You'll find out exactly how many the population of the world is today. But I'll tell you this, God's interested in everyone. Mm. And he wants to bless you and bless me and bless everyone else in Christ. And that's why Jesus came here. He came here to show that God wanted to help people, but he did more than that. He died for people. He didn't just die for people that were nice people. He died for nasty people. He died for people that were had offended God in their lives, people who had sinned. And the Apostle Peter, who became a disciple of Jesus, he looked back and he says to, in this passage we read, we've been redeemed not with corruptible things of silver and gold, not that by the most precious things that people regard as of value, but by precious blood. Mm. The life of Jesus was precious to God. There's never been a life like the life of Jesus when he was here on earth, because he magnified God's law. He made it honorable. Mm. God could absolutely trust him in everything. He couldn't absolutely trust me. I can make mistakes. I can say wrong things. Jesus never said a wrong thing. His words were perfect. The answers he gave to people that raised questions were perfect. He went about doing good, healing all oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. What a wonderful man was the man Christ Jesus. But he not only lived a good life, a perfect life, a life of devotion to his God and Father, but he died and he shed his blood. Nobody took his life from him. What you say, he was grabbed, he was arrested, he was given the mockery of a trial, he was eventually put on a cross, and he died on the cross. And that's true. And those who are responsible are responsible before God. The Apostle Peter speaks about, and others speak about, people who murdered Jesus. But he died. And when he was on the cross, he shed his blood. That precious life was the life of Jesus, and it was shed for you and me and everyone else. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The Lord Jesus is not here now. He's not on a cross now. Sometimes you see pictures or images of Jesus on the cross. He's not hanging on the cross now. He's not on the cross now. He's not in a tomb now. People went and looked at the cave where Jesus was. The stone had been rolled away and they looked in. And Jesus wasn't there. They saw clothes beautifully all wrapped up. Clothes, the cloth for his head. The clasps of his body all pulled up. Not any image of struggle. Jesus wasn't ripped out of the grave by people who were robbing tombs. He rose himself. He rose himself. He completed the work and he rose himself from the grave. Mm. Somebody was doing a quiz at lunchtime. What was the last thing that Jesus said in John's Gospel? It's finished. Thank God the work's finished. Mm. It's done. It's complete. And Jesus rose from the grave. He's now at the right hand of God, and he's a leader and a savior. Wonderful person. And he's changing people's lives. is making a man more precious than fine gold, even man than the gold of Ophir. So let's talk about one or two people. I'll tell you first of all about a parable that Jesus told. Jesus told parables, stories, interesting stories, but stories with a meaning. And he told a parable about a man who had two sons. And the younger son, he wanted his father's inheritance before he died. He wanted his what he was going to get after his father died. And his father gave him his inheritance, gave him what he would be due. And he went away and he squandered it. He messed it all up. He lived a bad life. He got bad company. Don't get bad company. Keep with company of people who love Jesus. But this man didn't keep company with people who love Jesus. He went away and squandered the money. You know, I live in a place, near where I live, there's a big, beautiful big house. Huge house with a big estate. And a lot of streets are named after the family that lived in this house. But somebody got the inheritance and he went and gambled it all and lost it. Eventually, the whole proceeds had to be sold off, just like this man did in the story that Jesus told. Jesus tells this story, how bad the man got. Instead of having loads of money to spend, he messed up his life. He was desperate for food. He got a job feeding pigs that in those days was considered a disgraceful kind of occupation. And he was so hungry, he wanted to eat what the pigs were eating. I expect you have had a good meal today. I've had a good meal today. But these people, this poor man, he was in a bad way. And he wondered what he's going to do about it. And eventually he came to himself. Great thing to come to yourself. Come to your senses. Realize that you're a sinner. Realize you've affronted the throne of God. Realize you don't deserve anything but judgment. You don't deserve anything but hell because of what you've done. But he came to himself. And he decided to go back to his father's house and get something to eat. He was so hungry. He wanted to become one of the servants instead of becoming one of the family. He was so desperate for that. But what happened to him? What happened to him? He didn't only get something to eat. He got more than that. He was on his way back to his father, and his father was looking out for him. Wasn't that wonderful? You know, God's looking out for people today. It says in Romans, all the day long, his hands are stretched out to people disbelieving and opposing. I think about this country I live in. Things have changed a lot in my lifetime. Things that were considered bad and worthy of crimes, and people been criminalized for it, have changed. People have changed things, evil things, into making them respectable. God's never changed. God's standards are never changed. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. God's standards haven't changed. But this father was looking out for his son who'd messed up his life. He was looking out for him, and he saw him a long way off, and he ran. He ran. God's interested to bless people. So urgent upon him, he sees that sign of that son coming near, and he runs and embraces him. The man does tell him he'd sinned, but he didn't get his whole story finished. You know what he did? What that father did? He made a man more precious than gold, even gold than the gold of Ophir. He brought him in. He made sure he was well clothed. He had a ring in his hand, he had sandals in his feet. He was clothed with fine clothes instead of the rags he was having when he had returned. And there was a celebration made for him. Wonderful, you know, the reception that God has for any person, rich, poor, old, young, who realized they've sinned against God. And he brought that son in to enjoy the very best of things. And he was there as a son enjoying the favor of the Father. That's how, what God's doing. He's taking people who are vile, though vile you need not fear. With joy you now may hear, yet there's room in that father's house for this man who repented of his sins and turned to God. And turned to God because he said he'd sinned against heaven and before his father, but the father brought him in that parable, and to enjoy the very best. And that's what God's doing today in his gospel. He's making a man like you and me, who've done wrong in our lives, making them more precious than gold, even gold, the gold of offer. I'll tell you about some more people. I'll tell you about a man in the Old Testament. His name was Mephibosheth. You can look it up in the Bible, Mephibosheth. It's quite a big word. Sometimes when I'm in the prison, I do Bible studies, and I get people to read. Some people have a big job to find the scriptures. You can see you were finding the scriptures today. It's good. Good to be able to find the scriptures when you're young, because you'll keep being able to find the scriptures when you're a bit older. Some people can't find anything in the Bible. They don't know where to start. Don't know even go to the index to find something. If I don't tell them page number, then I might be waiting half an hour before they find it. That's what things are like today. A lot of people don't know their Bible, don't know anything about the Bible. However, you've got this man in the Bible, his name was Mephibosheth. And David at that time was king. And he was concerned about others. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just enjoying being king himself. He wanted to help other people. That's what God's doing, you know. He's wanting to help people. People like you, people like me. Mm-hmm. God's wanting to help us and bring us into something. And this man was a long way off from Jerusalem. And he had trouble in his life. When he was just a boy, his nurse was looking after him. She dropped him and became disabled. And he stayed disabled for the rest of his life. You might say he was disadvantaged. People are concerned about folk that are disadvantaged today. In a sense, we're all disadvantaged because we're all sinners. But people have the right concern. That's right to be concerned about people that are disadvantaged. But this man had fallen, and he was lame, and he was a long way off from Jerusalem, and he belonged to some of the enemies of David. But David thought about him. He said, "Is there anybody left of the house of Saul that I might show the kindness of God to him?" It's like a reflection of what God's doing today, reaching out to people who are enemies. Naturally, we are enemies. We've been reconciled to God through the death of his Son. How are we reconciled to God? By Jesus shedding his precious blood to bring us near to God through repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there was this man called Mephibosheth. He was a long way from David. He was belonging to a bad house who had persecuted David. There he was. And you might say, everything was bad. He was just surviving and no more. David reaches out to him. "Is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I might show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Is there anyone left that I might show the kindness of God to him?" And someone said, "Well, I know a man. He's away out there in Lodibar, a long way away from Jerusalem." And David said, "Send and fetch him." You know, that's what God's doing today. He's sending out a message. Send and fetch him. Bring him in so you might enjoy his table. That's what he did. He came along to David's house. David got him in, and he sat at his table like one of the same king's sons. God's making a man more precious than gold, even gold. And the gold of offer. Think of that kindness of David reaching out to him. David was in the zenith of his power at that time. He could have done anything. He could have ignored this man, but he wanted to reach out with the kindness of God. That's what came here in this world when Jesus came. Go through the Gospels, read them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What you see there is the kindness of God expressed in Jesus. And that's what happened to this man. He was brought in to enjoy David's table, to sit as a king's sons round the table, getting the best of food, the best of everything. That's what happened to Mephibosheth. Through the kindness of David. He was still lame on both his feet. That didn't change, but he knew the kindness of God expressed in Jesus and David. And now David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is sitting at the right hand of God. As one says, Christ sits as king on Zion's hill, and he receives poor sinners still. Just like David reached out to Mephibosheth, so God is reaching out to us in the gospel of his grace to bring an end, and so that we might enjoy God's favor and share with others too. There'll be other people around that table, with Mephibosheth, with David. There'll be other people around the table enjoying the favor of David as well. And you know, God wants to do that to us. Wants us to bring us in to enjoy God's favor personally and enjoy company in association with Jesus. People who appreciate Jesus. Make sure you choose good companions. Those are younger people here. Make sure you get good companions. David says, I'm a companion of those that fear thee. Great thing to get good companions. And Mephibosheth got good companions because he became part of David's household, proving the daily help of Jesus through the food that he got at David's table. How wonderful. Enjoy the favor of God that's expressed through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you about one other person. And that is in the Gospels. And we have 10 leprous men. Now leprosy is a horrible disease. There is drugs that people can get from leprosy today. But in those days, everyone who's a leper had to stay outside the camp, outside the towns of Israel. And when Jesus was here, there was a number of people that Jesus made contact with who were lepers. They couldn't do anything to help themselves. Society couldn't do anything to help them. And there they were outside the camp, outside the places that people lived in. In a terrible state. But Isaiah says, I make a man more precious than gold, even man than the gold of Ophir. So there was one instance that when Jesus was here, there were 10 lepers. 10 lepers. They weren't all of the same nationality that were. There was 10 lepers. One was certainly a non-Jew. He was a Samaritan. He wasn't a Jew. But they're all lepers. They couldn't help themselves. They were unclean. They were unfit for human association. They were outside the cities. And they must have heard about Jesus. And he cried out to Jesus, a long way off, Jesus, Master, have compassion on us. Jesus was here. And he heard them. He heard them. He listened to them. You know, ever called out to Jesus? I remember calling out to Jesus. I've called out to Jesus more than once in my life. I hope I'll keep calling out to Jesus too until the Lord comes. Because that's what the mark of a Christian. He calls upon the Lord. All those who call upon the name of the Lord were Christians in Corinth. And they called out on Jesus. Jesus, Master, have compassion on us. What did Jesus do? He told them what to do. And Jesus is telling people what to do today. Repent towards God and put your faith in me, Jesus would say. That's the message in the gospel. It's repentance, recognizing we're unworthy, recognizing we're sinners, recognizing we need a savior, and then accepting the provision that God has provided through the precious blood of Jesus to cleanse us from every sin. So these men were all outside, and they're all calling out, Jesus, Master, have compassion on us. And what did Jesus say? Beat it. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. Go away. I can't be bothered with you. No, he isn't. He's interested in you. Interested when you're young, or whether you're old. Mm. Jesus is interested in everyone. And he cried out, Jesus, Master, have compassion on us. And he told them what to do, to go to the priest. Go, and what happened was they were cleansed. The whole mass of them, the whole 10 of them, they all got cleansed of their sins, all got cleansed of their leprosy. What were they going to do now? Jesus told them what to do. Well, one of them decided, having all been cleansed, all being made clean through the word of Jesus, one decided to come back to Jesus. He came back to Jesus, and he fell in his feet before him, and he thanked God. That's what he did. Have you ever done that? Come back to Jesus and give thanks. And Jesus said, we're not the 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Where are they? So everyone was cleansed. Everyone's life was changed by the word of Jesus Christ. But only one came back. And he came back and he gave thanks to Jesus for what he had done. Have you done that? Great thing to do that, you know. Come back and give thanks to Jesus. How much he has done on the cross. And that's what believers, we believers in the Lord Jesus should do. Keep going back to Jesus and thanking him for all he's done. He said, I'll make a man more precious than gold, yea, man than the gold of Ophir. And what God expects from us through our lives, our works don't save us, but we can show something, our appreciation of Jesus, by going back and giving thanks to God. And God is securing through the gospel people who worship the Father in spirit and truth. May the Lord help us all. May we freshly appreciate the wonderful work of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the Apostle Peter, looking back after being saved, you might say, for many years, could speak of the blood of precious blood. We've been redeemed to God not by corruptible things, of silver and gold, but by precious blood. How valuable is the blood of Jesus. Let us, each one of us, seek to honour Christ, those of us who believe, by giving thanks to him for all he's done, and doing that for the rest of our lives until the Lord come for us. May God bless us all for his name's sake.
Amen.